Thanks, y'all, for coming out this Sunday evening. Spanish Fork, Utah. Thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. Write your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emails at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and chair of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Om Agnanti Maranda Syam Ganangana Sarakya Chaksuri Midi Tamyena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Our topic is speak blessings over yourselves. We hear a lot about blessing other people, being good to friends, complimenting a family member, helping out a neighbor. And that's all good. We certainly should be very quick to bless and to compliment others. It's also important to bless yourself as well. And when we hear bless yourself, it may sound at first odd, self-centered. But we're not talking about drumming up an artificial sense of false prestige, making stuff up, playing to the crowd. We're just saying that when you remind yourself of who you are and whose you are, blessings are going to show up in your life. In Srimad Bhagavatam, one of our scriptures, it is said, Yashasti Bhaktir Bhagavatiya Kinchana Sarva Gurastatas Samasti Suraha. God is full of all good qualities. He's like the fire. We're created from Him. We're made in the image of God. And so when we reveal our true selves, just like sparks from the fire have the same qualities as the fire, light and heat, similarly, in our pure God-conscious state, we're automatically full of all good qualities. We're automatically perfect, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have to endeavor for that separately. We just have to be as devoted as we can to our supreme creator and loving father. We're made in his image, so therefore you can count on it that you're talented, you're forgiven, you're healthy, you're valuable, you are a masterpiece. Those aren't just like positive affirmations. That's the way of invoking blessings on ourselves. And especially when you verbalize it, when you speak it out, you give it life in a way that it doesn't happen when you're just thinking it. You don't bless yourself just by dwelling on positive thoughts. Nothing happens until you speak. When you say, I am blessed, I am a child of the Almighty Lord, then blessings come to you from the inside, they manifest. They go outside. And when you say, I am prosperous, good breaks start heading your way. And when you say, I am healthy, health starts tracking you down. The key is, you can't wait until you feel that way. Well, true. When I feel healthy, I'll start declaring it. When I feel prosperous, I'll start declaring it. No, you don't say it when the medical report turns around. You say it now and then just watch the medical report turn around. You have to declare it before you're healthy, before your health is going to show up. You have to say, I'm confident before you're going to feel confident. And if you say it long enough, then it becomes a fact. These words that you say, they have a way of getting down in your spirit, tattooing your soul, you might say. Each and every one of us believes the words that come out of our own mouths more than we believe what anybody else says. Am I right? When you hear yourself day after day saying, I'm healthy, I'm talented, I'm confident, I'm valuable, it's changing how you see yourself. It's only a matter of time before you're going to become what it is that you're saying. If we think about it, we all are who we are today, in large part because of what we've been speaking over our lives. Similarly, we need to develop this habit of blessing ourselves. You don't have to do it in front of other people, but when you're driving in the car, when you're out for a walk along the Provo River, when you're in the shower, Krishna, God, thank you that you made me creative. You made me attractive. You're a great father. You made me with a good personality. Driving to work, Krishna, thank you that I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed, that your mercy is bigger than my shortcomings. Before you go to bed, I am valuable. I'm one of a kind. I have seeds of greatness. Every time you say that, it gets deeper in your spirit, becomes more ingrained in your thinking. Studies tell us that we move towards what's in our subconscious mind. Without even thinking about it, you're being pulled towards what you're saying. And that's why it's so important to pay attention to what you're speaking over yourself. Other people may say things about you, but nothing is more powerful than what you say about yourself. I can tell you all day long, you're a victor and not a victim. That's good. That may help out your thinking. But it's nothing compared to when you say, I'm a child of the Most High God. When you say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. When you say, I'm a masterpiece, handcrafted by the Creator of the universe. You keep saying that, and I predict that you cannot stay insecure. You cannot continue to feel unworthy. There'll be a confidence that will get down in your spirit. You'll start to put your shoulders back, hold up your head high, and going to places that you could never have imagined. Our question is, are you taking the initiative and blessing yourself, or are you just sitting around waiting for your spouse to make you feel valuable, waiting for that addiction to go away? Maybe the reason that it's not happening is that you're not taking the reins and moving the blessing onto yourself. Maybe you're not declaring what Krishna or God says about you, and that's why it's not happening. In the face of that addiction, you need to talk back to it and say, I was created free, I was created whole, greater is he who is in me than that which is trying to stop me. Not just once or twice, but all through the day, week after week, month after month. Keep blessing yourself. Keep declaring that you're free. Keep speaking victory. As you do that, you may not be able to see it overnight, but freedom is coming your way. Freedom is tracking you down. I heard about a television show. Have you ever heard of it? It's called The Voice. It's a talent show that keeps the judges in the dark, so to speak. It requires them to judge all the contestants only on the sound of their voices. The judges, their backs are turned, and they never see the performers. The power, the poise, the presence, the emotion, the erudition, the excitement, it all has to be conveyed to the judges solely by the sound of the voice, not by any seamy showmanship. The power to convince, to convict, and the control is not in the contestants' own hands. It is, so to speak, in their tongues. Scripture tells us that we will eat the fruit of our words. Whatever you're saying, that's developing a fruit. Fruit is the word which is used here as an example. Fruit doesn't develop overnight. It takes time to mature. This is showing us that it's not just one and done. It's a habit. Keep speaking it. Keep blessing yourselves. Don't be moved. Don't retreat. Don't back off by what's changing. You may not see the fruits in a week, but things are happening that you can't see. We have an apricot tree out there by the lake. And every year the apricots start off as little tiny white flowers. They don't resemble anything like the apricot fruit. But over time, the flower changes into a little round ball the size of a pea. Week after week it grows. In a few months, that tree is full of fully mature, ripened, juicy, tasty apricots. And similarly, as you keep repeating what Krishna says about you, those words are producing fruit. In the 15th chapter, 7th verse, Lord Krishna says, Mamai vangsa jive loke jiva bhuta sanatana. All living beings, mam, are my parts and parcels, jiva bhuta sanatana. They didn't come into being and then go out of being. They're not created and not destroyed. They are crafted by me as eternal living beings. There's no time when they did not exist, nor will there ever be a time when they cease to be. That's freedom. And as you speak that and repeat those words, that freedom unfolds. That health that you're declaring, the talent, the confidence, the discipline, it's all growing. And you're going to come to a point where you see what it is that you've been saying. You're not speaking it just by faith anymore. Now it's a reality. And you're going to eat, relish the tasty, palatable fruit of your words. But you just have to be faithful and you have to be patient. That's why every day you have to spend some time, just like you have to weed and water in the garden. You have to spend some time encouraging yourself. It's good when others encourage you. It's very heady when someone pays you a compliment. It's good when they pray for you, but their words don't have the same authority over your life that your own words have. What you say about yourself, you're giving it the right to pass. And when we wake up every morning, most of us do a whole litany of things to take care of our body. We brush our teeth. We pick out our clothes, we get dressed, we have half a dozen items of personal care for men and a dozen items of personal care for the women. We might spend a half an hour a day getting our physical body ready for the day, but how often and how much time do you spend getting your inner person ready for the day? Your mind, your spirit, your emotions. And what if you took a couple of minutes every morning before you leave the house and say what God says about you? Our spiritual master wrote about 3,000 letters to his disciples between the time he arrived in America in 1965 and the time he passed away in 1977. And the heading for each and every one of his letters was, "Dear so-and-so and such-and-such, dear True, dear Advaita, dear Vaibhavi, please accept my blessings." Why don't we take a moment every morning and accept those blessings, make a declaration of faith. Krishna, you created me blessed. Krishna, you created me prosperous, redeemed, forgiven, talented, creative, disciplined, focused, confident, secure, prepared, qualified, motivated, valuable, free, determined, equipped, empowered, anointed, accepted, and approved. Not average, not mediocre. I am a child of the Most High God. And you're out the door then. The problem is, in this world, it's easy to forget who we are. Just like you take a shower one day and be sparkly clean. But then if you think, well, I took a shower one day, I don't have to shower the rest of the week, you're going to get dirty again very quickly. Similarly, life doesn't build us up, especially in this world, especially in this age. Everything is trying to push you down, tell you what you're not, what you can't do, how you failed, how you don't measure up. And sometimes even our own thoughts tell us that we don't have what it takes, we're not attractive, there's nothing in our future. Now, if you let those lies play, it's going to keep you from your purpose. But if, on the other hand, you make declarations day after day, month after month, it's going to get down in your spirit and you're going to become who Krishna or God created you to be. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Karanai Shravanada Sudhi Chitti Karyo Adai. Each and every one of us is by constitution an eternal servant of God. In other words, love of God is a dormant seed within each and everyone's heart. And when you praise God, when you repeat his words and declare blessings over yourself, that love of God, that dormancy becomes alive, blossoms and grows and produces fruits. When you're constantly saying what God says about you, it's going to bring down log jams. It's going to break up strongholds that may have been keeping you back for decades. It's going to get rid of impurities which are contaminating your self-image. You'll begin to see yourself in the right way as an eternal, loving servant of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. People will tell you you're average, nothing special about you. But the good news is that what you say about yourself trumps what other people may say about you. Don't let what someone spoke about you keep you from becoming who you're created to be. Don't take those lies and then go on repeating them. I'm not talented. I've reached my limits. I'll never accomplish my dreams. Zip that up and speak blessings over your life. Scripture says that with our words, we can bless or curse, just like fire. You can use it to cook or you can use it to burn something down. It has those dual capacities. Similarly, with our words, we can lift up or we can push down. So our question is, with your words, are you blessing yourself or are you cursing yourself? Are you speaking words of faith, life, victory, or are you speaking over your life defeat and mediocrity? I'm so undisciplined. I'll never lose this weight. I'll never break this addiction. I'm unattractive. I'll never meet the right person. What you're doing, you may not realize it, but you're cursing yourself. You're speaking defeat into your future. You have already enough people and circumstances against you in life. You don't have to be against yourself. There are forces of darkness trying to keep you from your destiny. Our hope is that you won't give them any fuel or encouragement. Rather, pay attention to what you're saying about yourself. Realize that you can't talk defeat and have victory. You can't talk lack and have abundance. You can't talk sickness and have health. You may be undisciplined right now, but the way to change that is not by telling everyone how bad you are by putting yourself down. It's just going to make things worse. Turn it around and start speaking victory. Just like Sanjaya said in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Yatra Yageshwaro Krishna Yata Partha Dunudara Yata Sriya Vijayabhutir Dhruva Nitir Matam Mama. Wherever there's Krishna, the creator of millions and millions of universes, and wherever there's a devotee who honors him by chanting his holy names, prioritizing his service, there will also be opulence, victory, prosperity, righteousness, and morality. Of this, Sanjaya says, I am certain. How do you recognize a genuine God-centered person? By their confidence that they're always in the presence of the Lord. By the fact that they're always audibly honoring Him by glorifying His holy names. By their praise, it is said, those who are devoted drink from the fire hose of living waters, healing waters, great gulps of the water of life that renew and sustain them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This was done by a French painter named Emile Renouf, who lived between 1845 and 1894. It's called The Helping Hand. Depicts, as you can see, an old fisherman seated in a boat with a little girl, probably his granddaughter, beside him, and both their hands, as you can see, on a huge oar. The fisherman looks on the little girl fondly and admiringly. Apparently, he's told her that she can assist him in rowing the boat. From her face, you can see that she feels she's doing a great share of the work. But you can also tell from the fisherman's strong, muscular arms who's really propelling the boat through the waters. Krishna, God, grants us the favor of the oars, the grace of propelling our ship through the high seas, the privilege of mission in a world where people are dying and drowning. And we must never forget for our part who is really the one at the oars. We cannot perform our mission. We cannot lead a successful life on our own strength, but only insofar as Krishna, God, works in us and through us. When we forget the source of our power, we start to faint and get weary. We begin to get down on ourselves. We must remember that our voices should echo the voice of our Creator. We need to learn to be on fire for Krishna, God, rather than letting our tongues set fires of defeat, low self-esteem, complaints, and gossip. I heard about a person. He struggled with smoking for many years, tried to quit again and again and again and again. He wasn't able to do it. He was constantly saying, it's too hard. The addiction's got too much of a hold on me. I'll never break it. I don't have the willpower. And all that time, he was cursing himself. His pastor told him what I'm telling you. You have to change what you're saying. You have to start blessing yourself. Every day, say, I'm strong, I'm confident, I'm disciplined, I'm not alone. This addiction does not control me. He tried this different approach. When he was smoking, he would say, Lord, thank you that I'm free. Thoughts would tell him, you hypocrite, you got a cigarette in your hand. Are you kidding? You're not free. You're just as addicted as you were before. But scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. Don't describe the weakness, but call in. Invoke strength. Invoke freedom. Invoke favor. About 6 months later, something interesting happened. He started to not like the taste of the cigarette. He thought it was just a bad batch. Went out and bought another pack. And this was even worse than the first one. He tried pack after pack and realized that he could no longer stand the taste of cigarettes. He stopped smoking. He's been free now for 8 years. It all started when he stopped cursing himself and he started blessing himself. So ask yourself, are you speaking negative over yourself, putting yourself down, talking about how you don't measure up, what you can't do, how you'll never be free? Our suggestion this afternoon is do yourself a favor. Quit cursing yourself. Start blessing yourself. If you keep being negative, it's going to keep you from your God-given destiny. Krishna is saying to you tonight, the enemy cannot curse you. Why? Because you are God's property. He has already put a blessing on you. He has already claimed you for his own. People, bad breaks, how you're created, what's coming against you. None of that's bigger than the power of our God to get us to where we need to be. We have already been anointed, set apart, favored, equipped, empowered by the creator of millions and millions of universes. Here's the key. The enemy cannot curse you, but she will try to trick you into cursing yourself. She will try to do her best to get you to go through life speaking defeat over your own self. I'm not that talented. I'll never meet the right person. I've made too many mistakes. The enemy can't curse you, so don't you then go and do it for her. Don't do her job by cursing yourself. And the next time that you're tempted to say something negative about yourself, your future, your looks, your talent, your abilities, see if you can do something different. See if you can just zip it up. Because honestly, when you're against yourself, it means that you're in agreement with the enemy. And when you bless yourself, it means that you're in agreement with Krishna or God. We were created in his image. He did not make a mistake in creating you. You did not get shortchanged. God wasn't having a bad day when he forged you. He knew in advance every so-called fault you would have. He knew every area that you would struggle in. He's got his hands on the oar. Now quit beating yourself up, feeling unworthy. Receive his mercy and move forward with your life. He gave you everything you need. The talent. You come from the right family. You are well able to reach your destiny. Now just start blessing yourself. And when you're tempted to say something negative, turn it around. Instead of saying, I'm not attractive, say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Instead of saying, oh, I made too many mistakes, say, I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed, I'm restored. Instead of saying, you'll never be successful, you've reached your limits, turn it around. I'm surrounded by favor. Krishna wants to take me from glory to glory. My latter days will be better than my former days. Fact is that each and every one of us has a destiny fulfilled. God put his calling on our life. He gave an assignment that only you can accomplish. And in order to accomplish that assignment, He gave you everything you need. The world needs you. Your generation needs you. Your society, your family needs you to pass those gifts on. Be a blessing to others. The world needs your talent. The world needs your smile. The world needs your love. The world would not be nearly as bright a place as it should be without your shining, living the full, abundant, God-centered life of service that God created you to live. Now, Krishna never asks you to do something and then doesn't give you the ability to do it. Right now, you may not feel qualified. You may not feel like you have the talent. You may feel like the odds are against you. But I'm here to tell you, you wouldn't have had the opportunity, the dream would not be in your heart if God did not have put it there and equipped you to fulfill it. It's in you, but you just have to call it out with your declarative words. You have to start blessing yourself. In the Mahabharata, the great epic of Greater India, we find that during the Kurukshetra War, between the forces of righteousness and the forces of evil, between the Pandavas and the Kauravas, that a great champion of the evil side, the dark side, Dronacharya, was killed during the battle. Dronacharya's son was in a towering rage at the death of his father, intent on killing as many of the righteous Pandavas as he could in order to get revenge for the death of his father. He invoked a fire weapon called the Agneya. As he invoked this weapon and said the proper mantras for releasing it, the Pandava forces started shrieking in fear and pain. From all directions, men, horses, and elephants were cut down and burned to ashes in this conflagration of the fire weapon. But when the fire weapon approached Arjuna with the Supreme Lord Krishna driving his chariot, it jumped over them. Ashwatthama was amazed to see his weapon checked and Arjuna unscathed. How had he survived this fire weapon which had killed tens of thousands of other warriors? Both Arjuna and Krishna had been right in the path of the weapon, but they were unharmed, not a hair on their heads. Ashwatthama felt hopeless. How could he contend with such foes who seemed to be invincible? He threw down his bow in despair, jumped from his chariot, and ran from the battlefield. Even his most powerful weapons were ineffectual against Krishna and his devotees. What was the use of fighting them? As Ashwatthama was running, he met Vyasadeva, the compiler of all the Vedic literatures. There on the battlefield, Drona's son Ashwatthama stopped. He bowed before Vyasadeva and asked him why his weapons were useless against Arjuna. Vyasadeva explained that Krishna was the supreme personality of Godhead. There was no living being anywhere who could overpower Krishna or anyone that he protected. On the Pandava side, at the end of the day's hostilities, when they reached the encampment, they also encountered Vyasadeva. Arjuna, Krishna's friend, got down from his chariot. He bowed down. He touched Vyasadeva's feet. And he said, "O opulent one, I have seen something today which inspired me with great wonder. As I released my arrows towards my foes, I saw before me a male being shining like fire. He held a blazing trident, and whichever way he turned, my enemies were burned and destroyed. Although he never hurled his trident nor any other weapon, his energy alone seemed to annihilate my foes. Who was this personality, O great sage?" Placing his hand on Arjuna's head, who still knelt before him, Vyasadeva said, "O son of Kunti, you have seen Shiva, the lord of destruction, the destroyer of worlds. And out of Shiva's love and respect for Krishna, he walks before your chariot, scorching your enemies with his irresistible energy. Even the powerful universal protectors could not stand before him. Go and fight with confidence, O Arjuna. Defeat is not for one who has Lord Krishna by his side. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There'll always be the temptation to talk about all the reasons why you're not able. It's too big, don't have the resources, come from the wrong family. No, don't curse yourself. Be careful what you're saying about yourself. You are prophesying your future. Yes, the odds may be against you, but Krishna is for you. Therefore, say not, I'll never break the addiction. Say not, I'll never meet the right person. Say not, I can't start my own business. Zip that up and get in agreement with God. You all want a good life, I presume. Then my best advice to you is watch your tongue. Keep your lips from telling lies. We think that only means don't tell lies to other people, don't be dishonest. But it also means don't tell lies about yourself. Go around saying things that contradict what Krishna or God says about you. I'm just average. I don't have a personality. I'll never do anything great. Can I say this respectfully? You're telling lies. That's dishonoring your creator. Krishna did not create anyone average, subpar. When he breathed life into you, he also breathed greatness into the inside. He destined you to leave your mark, to overcome that challenge, to outlast the opposition, to take your family to a new level. Now, if you're going to see this good, long, prosperous, amazing life, then you have to do something very important. Watch your tongue. Be faithful to the Lord and the way that He made you. Be careful about what you say about yourself. You can't curse yourself and live a blessed life. You can't put yourself down and rise up to who you were created to be. Janaka Pandit, a great moralist and philosopher who lived 3 centuries before Christ, he said we can learn valuable lessons from certain animals. From the crow, from the horse, and from the dog, he said, we should learn fidelity. We should learn focus. We should learn loyalty. We should learn chastity. The dog has one master. He's faithful to that one master. Similarly, we should recognize that God is the Lord. We are the servants, not gossip, not complain, not let our tongue be unchaste. Keep it always faithful to He who created us. And here's a story that underlines that fidelity, that loyalty that we should reflect in our own lives. A dog once belonged to an unknown sheep herder near Fort Benton, Montana. When his owner became ill in August 1936, he went into St. Clair Hospital at Fort Benton for treatment and brought his herding dog with him. A few days later, he died. His relatives back east sent for the body. The dog followed the casket to the railroad station, watched while it was being loaded on a train headed to the eastern USA. After that, he would greet every westbound train that arrived every day, expecting his master to return. It took the station employees some time to realize that the body in the casket was probably the dog's master, and the dog was showing up for each incoming train to see if his master would be getting off the train. The dog was later given the name Shep. The station employees took care of him, and he lived in and around the station, becoming well known to everyone who passed through. Shep kept up his daily ritual of meeting every westbound train for over 6 years until he himself passed away. Krishna says, the quality for being successful in your life is fidelity, is simple loyalty. Tesham satad yuktanam, bhajatam priti purvakam. Who is successful in their life? Who moves towards the destiny that God created us for? Who? What's the answer? those who are faithfully devoted, worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. The enemy has no new tricks. If you're simply faithful, focused, and resolute, there's nothing that the enemy can do to keep you from your destiny. She cannot stop Krishna's plan for your life. Why? God has blessed you. The enemy cannot curse you. Now, the only question remaining is, are you going to curse yourself? Are you going to fall into that trap? Or are you going to speak victory over your life? Krishna, God, knows the power of our words. He knows that if we go around cursing ourselves, talking about what we can't do, how impossible it is, how we're too old, too young, too shy, too short, then we'll never become who created us to be. I wonder if there are promises that we're keeping from coming to pass in our lives because we're speaking negative, verbalizing our doubts. Krishna wants to do something that your family has never seen, something for you unusual, something out of the ordinary. You're about to give birth to dreams, promises, ministry, abundance, influence, far more than you could ever imagine. It's going to be so big that it's going to be easy for you to doubt it. It's going to be easy for you to think it's too much, that it could never happen. But the reason that Krishna brought you here today, that you can hear this message, is that you will begin to watch your tongue. No more cursing yourself, no more speaking defeat, no more talking about how you can't get well, no more I can't break the addiction, no more I can't start our business. Get in agreement with Krishna, start blessing yourself all through the day. Krishna made me strong, talented, anointed, healthy, well able. The enemy cannot curse you. She does not have that power. Don't curse yourself. Speak life. Speak favor. Speak victory. If you do this, Krishna, God, is going to show out in your life. New doors are about to open. Negative situations turn around. Freedom is coming. Healing. Breakthroughs. The fullness of your destiny in this life and next life. Back to home. Back to Godhead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.